We are honored to have Shai with us tonight for a few minutes, the Chatan, and because we only have a few minutes, so I'll have a quick class, and all of you will, Bezrat Hashem, take notes and remember it for the time when you are Chatanim. The best piece of advice that I was offered and I give to other Chatanim is that the first year of marriage, we have to build our connection, the two people, the husband and wife, and one of the things that get in the way is the cell phone and the regular phone, the house phone. So advice number one is the first month of marriage, when you get home in the evening, disconnect the phone. Shut off the cell phones and disconnect the phone. And I always tell Chatanim, I would tell you do it for 3 months, but you won't listen to me, so I'm going to tell you do it 1 month. And by the end of that month, you'll see how beneficial it is. Of your own accord, you're going to disconnect it the next 2 months. And every Chatan I've checked up with said to me, this was really excellent advice. I did it for 1 month, and after I did it for 1 month, I saw how good it was, I did it for another 2 months. And it's very important that the couple build the connection between themselves, and that can only be done if they have that autonomy of being alone. So it's very important in the beginning to disconnect the phones, including the cell phones. There is one thing that may never be said in the house, and that is the word divorce. Divorce is a term that is never allowed to enter the house. There's a concept in America, when it comes to firearms, so many more people are hurt than saved by firearms. So there's a rule. They made the following rule. You don't pull out a gun till you're ready to shoot. You don't threaten with a gun. Because what would happen is a burglar would enter the house, a woman would take out the gun and say, "Don't come forward or I'm going to shoot." And as she's staying there threatening, he figures out a way of overpowering her, getting the gun and using it against her. So they realized that people who threaten with guns end up losing more than gaining. So they made this rule, you never threaten with a gun. You take it out when you're ready to shoot. And this rule has saved many lives. Well, the word divorce is the same thing. It's not a threat. It's not something to be discussed. And it is the only time when I think it is proper for a husband to react very, very harshly. If his spouse ever makes a joke or some kind of allusion to divorce, so then the husband says, "No, do me a favor. Please do not, don't ever make a joke about such a thing. God forbid, I don't even want to hear it in this house." And when a husband reacts harshly to that, what the husband is really saying, "You are so precious to me, I don't even want to joke about ever losing you." So that's something which a couple has to take to heart. Never to make mention of the word, never to allow even jokes about this to enter the house. We know that very often jokes go the wrong way. So we have to be very, very careful that this has to be agreed upon between the spouses. Now, we've discussed in the past that enemy number one of the engagement period and the first year of marriage is the thought, maybe this was wrong, maybe she isn't Mrs. Right. And a person has to overpower that. And God forbid a person should let those thoughts stay in his mind or come off his lips. Marriage is the most beautiful thing, and the most beautiful thing, as we know, things of value in this world require work. The more of the value, the more the work. So intrinsic to married life is that it's going to require work. And it's the sweetest thing in the world. But it can only be attained with work and difficult labor. And that's why sometimes it's very tempting to give up. And that's where this directive comes in. That thought can never enter one's mind. Chazal told us that a person has to be mechabdo yoser migufo, honor his wife more than himself. And this applies to all areas of marriage. Husband always has to know to give his wife more honor. Giving her more honor, one of the aspects is to always indicate to her that he'd like to be with her. A wife always needs to feel cherished. Chazal tells that even great rabbis who had wives that made their lives miserable, when they'd go to a place far away, they'd always bring some kind of souvenir to indicate to the wife, "Wherever I am, I'm thinking about you. I cherish you." A husband needs to be loved, a wife needs to be cherished. To be cherished means to constantly reiterate, "I love you." When I was going out, so I always asked couples for advice. So one woman once told me, the greatest advice is, whenever you want something changed, strengthen the positive. And not just the first year. Everyone knows all these lessons for the first year. You got to keep it up 10 years after you're married. Now, you don't say something derogatory, quite the contrary. The rule is, and this is a rule, if you could only remember this, you'll have the most beautiful marriage in the world. Compliments connect, criticism divides. We think that because something's wrong, so there's nothing personal about criticizing. It doesn't work that way. We are not empirical by nature, nor are our comments said empirically, nor are they taken. Everything is taken personally, more so by a woman than a man, but we are the same way, just to a different extent. Everything is personal. The fact that she burnt the soup is irrelevant. You say, "How do you burn a soup?" "Oh no, you can burn a soup." When you say something derogatory, and it doesn't matter whether you're commenting on something which is a fact, you just broke 6 out of our 12 eggs. You'll say that's a fact. Yes, that's a fact. But when you said it, you have divided. Every slightest criticism is a divide. It is irrelevant how accurate and how true and how impersonal it may seem. It is personal and it is hurtful. And this goes both ways for men and women. And by the same token that criticism forms a divide, compliments connect. And so we have to look for ways to compliment our wives. It is recommended to buy a little pack of note cards. You know those packs that you get colored papers? You get like 150, 200 for 4 shekel. So usually the chatanim I learn with, I give them a pack. Start them off. I say, you finish this after a month, then you'll buy your new one on your own. Then you're on your own. But you write notes. Like one husband told me, they're married, they already have grandchildren. They're married maybe 25 years. And he told me, there hasn't been a morning that he hasn't left his wife, aside from when he's on business trips. There hasn't been a morning when he hasn't left his wife toast and juice and a note. A note! A note, yeah, something telling her I love you. A wife never feels satiated. So one of the blessings of marriage is that God created us that we always want to express it and they always want to hear it. We also need to hear it. But we have to remember that they need to hear it. One has never said it enough and one has never said it in enough ways. It's important to buy flowers. It's important to go on trips. Especially now you're getting married in the summer. Trips are a great way to get out of the house and bond. So when we are prohibited, we can't. But when we're permitted, then we should find time to go on hikes in nature and have time together. We have to expect that this is something that's built over years. We are accustomed to a life in which we get everything on a silver platter now. High-speed internet. Everything's high-speed. Well, in Judaism, we're taught that anything worthwhile is slow-speed. Everything takes time. Well, laat, laat. Marriage is the same way. We attain the greatest pleasures and the greatest beauty in marriage, le'at, le'at, slowly. It doesn't come in the beginning. In the beginning, we're enveloped by infatuation, by the prospect of what's going to be, and that's why the greatest day in a person's life, our sages told us, Yom Simchato is Yom Chatunato. Yom Chatunato is Yom Simchat Libo. That's where the potential, the potential is there. That's when it begins, and it's the greatest day. The giving of the Torah is compared to Yom Chatunato, because that's when we start our bonding. But now we have to build and build and build, and the relationship of Adma V'Slim is building. That's why we say you should build a Beit Neman. It doesn't mean build something and it'll stand Neman forever. It means keep building and building and building, and it gets better and better with time. Bezat Hashem, you should go Mechayim Chayim, Simcha L'Simcha, and grow together, Be'ava, Be'aracha, Be'kavod Adadi, Be'Simcha. And each one should recognize that the other one is the source of their Shechinah. And especially to you, the man, I'm saying, we learned last week in the Ein Yaakov, a week ago today, we learned that the Zohar says, a man alone does not have Shechinah. Chizkiyahu was lying and he turned to the Kir. Chazal say Kir is a representation of Shechinah. Shechinah is only with the females of the world. A man can only attain Shechinah when he's married. She is your source of Shechinah. And to say it a different note that's slightly similar, Rav Salant always used to tell his students, remember, her Gashmius is your Ruchnius. When she wants that rest, for her it's physical, but that's her issue. For you it's spiritual. When you're doing things that are physical for her, you're taking out the garbage, don't view it as a bag full of dirty garbage. View it as, that's my mitzvah. Even though it's something physical for her, it's the opportunity to do something spiritual. When I'll tell you that married life is focused on where can I give the other person, you'll think I'm talking about big tzaddikim. But if you'll talk to the average person who has a beautiful marriage, you'll discover that that's the way they live. When one feels connected to the other person and that connection builds over time, then what one wants is what's best for them. And one is always thinking, what can I do for them? Not because he heard it in this class, because that's the way one feels. And if one doesn't feel that, then one has to start acting that way, because if I act that way, then she'll act that way. If she'll act that way, I'll want to act that way. And then it grows. So part of it is faking it. If I don't feel like doing it, so I'll do it even though I don't feel like doing it. There are times when a person has to know, okay, so I'm the one that's making this marriage work. Sometimes we say, what do you mean? It's a partnership. I do mine, she does her end. Doesn't work that way. I give 100% and she gives 100%. And when for some reason I have the excuse to think she's not giving her 100%, so what? So now I'm going to be the one that makes this marriage work. We all have ups, we all have downs, we all have strengths, we all have weaknesses. And if we see a time when we feel like, I'm not being treated fairly, this isn't what I expected out of life, so what? So now I'm going to be the one that, thanks to me, now the marriage is going to work. Bezrat Hashem, you guys in 20 years should be repeating all of this to your children, and then you'll see it yourself. You're going to the most beautiful, the most sweet thing in the world, and Baruch Hashem, you're zochet a beautiful kala. Bezrat Hashem, we're all going to dance tomorrow, b'simcha. Arbe arbe mazal tov.